Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Oh, and the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. John Glennon from the Nashville Post will be with us coming up at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to visiting with Johnny. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025, our phone number. The draft lottery last night, Predators finish with the fifth overall pick, which, given the circumstances, was the worst possible outcome for them last night. And Bear Trotz making it official yesterday that Andrew Brunette coming back as head coach, and he will have his third season here in Nashville as head coach. Your reaction to all that at 615-737-1025. Joe, I thought Barry Trotz had some really interesting comments yesterday as it related to Jonathan Marchessault and what he said at the end of the year when we talked about, you know, clearly what we're doing is not working and we got to make some adjustments as they move forward here. I asked Barry Trotz about those comments yesterday, and I thought his response was very, very interesting from a couple of different vantage points. Here's what Barry Trotz had to say yesterday at his press conference.
I think, you know, when you have an off season like we did, it's easy to throw out, you know, the system. You got to have, I said, there got to be the buy-in. You know, it's easy to say, well, yeah, it didn't fit for me. Part of the process is you got to find a happy medium where it does fit, where your talents will fit really well into the system, and then you got to buy into the non-negotiables. The non-negotiables on a team, that's the responsibility of every guy in the team. So sometimes when you throw it out, you know, I know Andrew, and I know I talked to Marchie, and I know Andrew's reached out to Marchie, that from that standpoint, they will get on the same page. And I do know what Marchie said, and I'll keep that between me and him. But there's a give and take on both sides. There's certain talents that, no one's a perfect player, no one's a perfect coach, no one's a perfect person. But you have to create an environment where there's understanding on both sides. And so to say, hey, this doesn't work. There's certain things about the way we played that Marchie would like to play a little differently. So he voiced his opinion, I'm sure, on it. And he's talked to Bruno on it. Bruno's a smart hockey guy. He's going to do what's best for the group in the winning. So, but getting all that information is part of being a coach, is part of being the feel where your team is. As a coach, I made adjustments every year.
So, Joe, I thought that was really interesting yesterday. He brought up the word buy-in, I don't know, 35 times yesterday in his press conference. Like, he talked about buy-in a lot. And in that answer there with Marchessault, he talked about the buy-in. And he talked about how you've got to buy in to the non-negotiables with your team. And talked about how, you know, he said it. Like, Marchessault, there are things about the way they play that he basically said Marchessault doesn't like, and that he'd like to play differently. And the way that they kind of attack things out there, which I don't think is new news. Like, we know that based on what Marchessault said. I just thought it was interesting that Trotz put it that way. And the buy-in that he kept talking about yesterday tells me, Joe, that it's part of, I think, the reasoning for him bringing back Andrew Brunette. I think he puts a lot of what happened last year on, like, the players and their inability as a group to really buy in to what Andrew Brunette was trying to get them to do. And, you know, he went into a little bit of detail about that yesterday, and he was like, okay, well, what is buy-in? And he's like, well, offensive zone penalties. Taking them at bad times, you know, not being focused, not being, you know, not having the same energy level that you're required to have. Like, there's a lot that he talked about yesterday, and he brought up buy-in a lot. I thought that response there on Marchessault was pretty interesting, because it seemed like he was pretty directly saying, yeah, well, Marchessault probably needs to worry about buying in, and Marchessault probably needs to worry about, you know, the non-negotiables, and then we can start to worry about the way that we're playing.
Yeah, non-negotiables to me is, that's like energy, hustle, effort, desire stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's how, that's non-negotiable. I think that's pretty universal. in coach speak is like, that's just stuff that everyone, there's an expectation you're at a certain level of things. So I took that as, yeah, he doesn't like some of the stuff and maybe it, you know, that caused a conflict, but there's some things that like, doesn't matter what system you're in. Like you have to do it at a higher level. So I thought it was very interesting. And, you know, it's, again, it's like if you're a fan who wanted Brunette out, I understand also saying, but see, so you're gonna go back and put this on them, but like, do you not value what they've told you about, you know, about the system or whatever? Right. I mean, we know Marchessault is the most outspoken. That's where it gets into. I'd also be interested to know what was the prevailing thought? Like, how many different opinions were there? I mean, I'm sure that there was a range.
Yeah,
you know, but. It's, you know, that the play, this is where you get into, you can't fire the players. So, you know,
it made
there's,
me,
there's
it,
one option.
It also made me think back to like Stamkos's answer too. Like, you know, you ask about Marchessault with Trotz and he immediately starts saying, yeah, I'm aware of what Marchessault says, but let's talk about some buy-in real quick. Let's talk about, you know, the non-negotiables. And I remember asking Stamkos at the end of the season about what Marchessault said about how, you know, clearly the system needs to be adjusted. And the first thing Stamkos started talking about, Joe, was, well, you know, when things don't work, it's easy to complain. It's easy to say everything sucks, right? But then he went into detail about, like, the approach, the attitude, and talked about later in his answer how, is there one overarching thing that needs to change with the system? Probably not, but there are some tweaks that they need to make. But I find it interesting, Joe, that both with Barry Trotz and Steven Stamkos, you ask him about what Marchessault said, and the first thing they start talking about was how easy it is to, like, complain when things aren't going well.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, I mean, clearly, you know, he's on a bit of an island, at least, right, in terms of and I think that he's obviously caused some people to not be happy with some of the stuff he's done and said, right?
Yeah.
So, but he's here. So how do you, you know, like, how do you get the most out of him? How do you get it all? How do you get them all together? This is what, I mean, frankly, this is another case for changing coach, even though as a coach, especially Barry Trotz, like, I get why that would be like, you know, why do we have to give in on this? You know?
Well, I also,
and he didn't,
And I also, like, in that answer that Barry Trotz, the audio we just played, he said, you know, Marchessault and Bruno will get on the same page, which suggests that they're clearly not. He said, they will get on the same page, which, look, again, I want to make this clear about Marchessault. I like him. Like, I think this place probably needs some of the, you know, directness that he brings to the table. Like, you know, sometimes maybe you can have a little too much of that, but I like how direct he is, and you're never really left wondering how he feels about a certain situation. And again, I don't really think that's a bad thing. Like, I think that's fine. But I did find that interesting too, of Barry Trotz saying, yeah, they'll get on the same page, which suggests that right now they're not.
At some point, I hope.
Yeah.
They're gonna go, you know, they're gonna go to Cedar Point together, do some trust falls, and everything will be well. Liam McLeod says, keep hammering those square pegs.
Yeah. I mean, look, Barry Trotz is clearly has confidence. You know, after the exit meetings, after everything that was said, and, you know, he talked about Marchessault, so he said, you know, I'm aware of what he said. I'll keep those conversations between myself, which suggests to me, Joe, that Marchessault probably went beyond what he said with us in the media, which is not a surprise, with Barry Trotz.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
I mean, clearly there was a pretty frank discussion that Jonathan Marchessault had with Barry Trotz here. But in the aftermath of all that, like, he got through the exit meetings, and he has determined that Andrew Brunette sticking around as head coach is the best option for the team. Now, could that end up being a colossal mistake? Absolutely. That could end up being a mistake. Maybe Andrew Brunette figures it out. I mean, look, my opinion on Brunette hasn't changed all that much. Like, I still think he's a pretty good coach. I think he's a good hockey mind. The question I have is he the right coach for this team? And that's what I still have my doubts about heading into next year.
Yeah, is he the right coach for this team? And that's a question that now you go back a year ago and say, man, like, when they did all this stuff, you know, just maybe this wasn't the right fit. And also, not only is he the right coach for this team, but can he now figure this out after all that's been done and said.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's harder than just, you know, the fit. Like, now you also, can you overcome all this stuff and actually get everybody on the same page and play well?
We'll take your thoughts. We got a lot of your thoughts to get to. Appreciate the participation all day long. Keep them coming. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Andrew Burnett back as coach. What did you make of Barry Trotz's response to what Jonathan Marchessault had to say heading into the offseason? We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. I got some tickets to give away. A 4-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides at First Horizon Park this Thursday. First pitch at 6:35. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on the Tides at First Horizon Park this Thursday. 615-737-1025. Your reaction to the Predators retaining Andrew Brunette. We'll have John Glennon coming up at 8 o'clock here on the program. Joe Keith texting in says, did Marchie tell Trotz that Bruno was sleeping on the plane? In the callback to Rand Carthon there.
Well, if so, you know who we need to call in. Plain nap beat writer Paul Kaharski. Get on the case, Paul. No sleeping allowed on those planes, man. You gotta be locked in. I don't care if you have to put toothpicks in your eyelid to keep them open, right?
I don't care if you're on a back-to-back flying over Winnipeg, Manitoba at 2 a.m. You get up. Watch the film.
Get on that video. Yep, get on that video. I don't care. That's right.
Got a lot of people saying today that Jonathan Marchessault needs to be traded this offseason. Cam saying that I think Marchessault could be part of one of those hockey trades that Trotz was talking about. Another texter says Marchessault needs to be traded this offseason. If the Preds get off to a bad start, that relationship is only going to get more toxic. Derek from Nolansville asking about the contract for Marchessault and if they can move him. I believe he's, number one, I know he's got 4 years left on his deal. I believe there is like a 16-team no-trade list involved there. I think so. I believe that's the case. I'll double-check on that, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. So you can move him. We'll see if that actually ends up being a part of things and in consideration from Barry Trotz. Barry Trotz did say yesterday, Joe, you know, basically that free agency kind of sucks this year, which he's right. There's not a lot of great options at free agency out there, so I don't expect the Predators to be overly active in free agency. And he said that maybe some of the biggest moves that they make this offseason could come via a hockey trade. So we'll see what he's got up his sleeves on that front.
Meanwhile, I think some of the, you know, on the YouTube chat, Ian is making some very good points over in the YouTube chat about the roster stuck in limbo, the big picture, you know, ages, stages of careers. I hadn't thought of it in these terms. You know, when they made that run 8 years ago, there were two guys over 30, according to Ian.
Well, Mike more
Fisher
than two.
And Pecorine.
Well, I mean, Fiddler, Cody McLeod.
Oh, that's what
your core players.
But like guys that they actually.
Your core guys were sub 30. Yeah.
Like all those guys were in the prime of their career. Yossi was 26.
Yeah.
Forsberg
was
23.
Yeah.
Ellis 26. James Neal was 29. Like. Sissons was like 23 or 4.
Yeah.
Like all these guys were young. This is becoming a younger and younger league. The prime in the NHL is becoming younger and younger as the years go on. And it's just they're
stuck.
The
Preds
right
are getting
now.
Older and older.
And the Preds are going in the wrong direction.
Well, and I think also, Joe, you know, and this ties into the decision to keep the coach too. Like there's an expectation, I think, from the fan base next year of, all right, well, you better figure it out, right? And, you know, Steven Stamkos scored 40 goals the year before he came here. And Jonathan Marchessault scored 42 goals the year before he came here. And I think there's an expectation of, all right, well, part of figuring it out means that those guys are going to get back closer to 40 goals. And I found it interesting, too, yesterday, Joe, that Trotz said, I mean, those guys are getting older. Like, I don't really have the expectation that those guys are going to have career years or, you know, have anything close to, like, the production that they had when they're 28 or 29. And I'm sitting here saying, well, I agree with that, and they're probably not going to. So where's the offense coming from? Because you're the worst offensive team in the league, as you were this last year. You already couldn't score. Those guys aren't getting any younger. And I think they're relying on and they're hoping for a surge from some of the younger players that they have that, frankly, at the moment, I just don't know that those guys are ready to give them. Like, What is Zach LaRue going to give you offensively next year? What is Svechkov going to give you offensively next year? Is there something like, does Kimmel come in? Is he a part of the fold? But even if he does, like, what's Joakim Kimmel in his first year in the NHL? Like, what's he going to give you offensively? Like, I got big questions about how they're going to put the puck in the back of the net next year.
Yeah. I mean, guys make jumps. So could a LaRue, you know, have one of those? Oh, it's his breakout season. I mean, you could. It's possible. But counting on it seems a little bit foolish. But that's the thing. Like, so much. I mean, everything is just hope, you know? And I understand, like, to some extent, that's, you know, you could say that about a lot of teams, but, like, you've got that. You hope these guys still have a lot of juice and are going to come together and get back to more of the production they had before last year. You hope UC Soros is good still. I mean, there's a lot that's just – and you hope that Brunette and these guys are going to figure it out. And Brunette, you know, Brunette adds the right tools to the tool belt, which, again, the only one I guess that was really explained was – being more willing to call people out.
Yeah.
Did Trotz call people out a ton when he was a coach?
He was not afraid to call people out. I did find it interesting. You know, he talked about the locker room yesterday and said basically they're too nice. That's what he said. Like, he said, like, at times maybe they're too nice. And I wonder, like, he talked about that with the players. And, he, you know, like you said, he brought it up with Brunette of, you know, I think he was talking to Glennett, and he's like, you know, I'm a nice guy, but I know when it's time to not be nice anymore. And so I'm interested, like, what sort of conversations do they have about, you know, holding people accountable and calling people out next year? Like, what sort of a tangible difference does that make with this group?
And if that's valued to that extent, then Marchessault seems pretty important, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
But I don't know if I want to trade that guy.
Yeah. Need somebody in there to call them out. I don't know. Like, you know, I look at their room and we talk about the veteran guys all the time, right? Like, Stamkos done a whole lot of winning. O'Reilly done a whole lot of winning. I mean, I know that Steven Stamkos is not afraid to call people out. I know that based on people I've talked to in Tampa Bay and just being around him. So, like, I just wonder, like, why is that the case? Like, do you need – first off, you're switching situations, right? So Marchessault and Stamkos in particular. And, you know, we had somebody earlier ask us, why are we not talking about, like, Brady Shea as a part of this too? I think it's just different. Like, number one, his pedigree is different than the other two. And number two, like, they need those two guys specifically at forward to be kind of a driving force of what they do here moving forward. I actually thought Brady Shea got a lot better as the season went on, and I'm interested to see what he plays like with actual NHL defensemen, hopefully, around him next year and not, you know, Nick Blankenberg and Andreas Englund and all these other guys walking around out there. So, but that part of it aside, it's difficult for me to believe, Joe, that guys that have made a living being really good leaders in this league, which I think at times requires you to call people out, like, why did that not happen last year? Like, was Stamkos afraid to step on toes? Was Marchessault afraid to step on toes? Like, I know what kind of leader O'Reilly is. Like, they don't strike me as guys that are afraid to call people out. So why did it not happen, if that's what Barry Trotz is alluding to?
Well, yeah. But you need to, when O'Reilly's yelling at people, you need to take the mirror out of his hand.
That's
you
true.
Know? And like,
he was yelling at himself.
Say that to somebody else. But no, they have plenty of guys who have been a part of big time winning. Should know the balance of, you know, you call someone out, you hold people accountable, you don't want to embarrass anybody, but you want to be able to have honest conversations. I mean, it's different guys coming together, so I guess that must be what it is, right? Just that, you know, Yossi's the captain, and so it's like, you don't want to step in, I don't know, whatever, but that's got to get figured out big time. I mean, that should, and that's one of those things that, like, again, we talk about all these things, and it's like, okay, they just went through 82 games, guys. They just went through all these months together, and I have to think all these things were thought about and talked about.
You would think so. One other thing that came up that is interesting in terms of what could still potentially happen here. You know, Alex Doherty asked Trotz about the assistant coaches and whether or not they're coming back. And Trotz's response was basically, I mean, at the moment, I think they're all coming back, but I reserve the right to change my mind on that, and I may go look for somebody else to, like, change the voice in there. And it's like, okay, well, what does that mean? He brought it up. There are a lot of guys out there, a lot of interesting coaches that are out there and that are available, and if they don't all land head coaching jobs, could Trotz go handpick somebody for Brunette's staff? Typically, that doesn't happen, right? Like, typically – you hire your coach and you let the coach kind of choose his staff there. But Trotz kind of made it seem like yesterday he may go handpick somebody for Brunette's staff.
Yeah, that's like, hey, we're bringing the coach back. I believe in him, but also I'm kind of going to take over some stuff that he would do. I don't think that's a good way to go about things. If you're going to stick with him, stick with him. Let him do his job.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're going to take a Preds breather coming up next. I got a thought for the Nashville sports fan I want to get into. Plus, John Glennon will be with us at 8 o'clock. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode at 745. All that coming up. Robbie and Rexrode, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Sounds take on Norfolk. Pregame beginning at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode, brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode coming up here in about 10 minutes. John Glennon from the Nashville Post will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Barry Trotz press conference, the decision to retain Andrew Brunette, and a little bit of Titans with John Glennon as well. So looking forward to that. Joe, speaking of the Titans, the Nashville pro sports fan is in desperate need. You got two terrible teams right now, Joe, with the Predators that finished with the third worst record, the Titans with the number one overall pick in the draft. The Nashville pro sports fan is in dire need of rescue. And I'm looking around the landscape here, Joe, and I'm looking at the Preds, and who knows, maybe whoever they draft at number five ends up being that guy here in a few years, but it's doubtful that whoever they draft this year at 18 years old is going to come in and really be impactful for them next year. You look at their roster right now, as Ian brought up, and there's a lot of old guys, especially at forward right now, that's in their top six, where you're asking the question of, man, are these guys really going to be all that much better next year? You're worried about the goalie. You're looking on the Titans side of things right now. It's been a couple years in a row, just terrible football. The offensive line's been atrocious. And there's one shining light, Joe, that needs to come to the rescue of the Nashville pro sports fan, and it's Cam Ward. So no pressure, kid. The Nashville pro sports fan is in desperate need of help. And right now I'm looking around the landscape, Joe, and Cam Ward is the only beacon of light that I find. He's the only hope that I see at the moment for the Nashville pro sports fan. And it's a depressing spot to be. They need Cam Ward to be great. And the Nashville pro sports fan, I saw some people tweeting yesterday when the lottery went down and the Predators picked fifth, and they were just like, I mean, stab me right in the heart. Just stab me again right in the heart with the way things have gone around here the last couple of years. And, man, Cam Ward, we need you, baby. Come in here, be good.
You're not wrong, but I'd like to provide a little bit of sunshine. So you do. There's also Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt football here. You know, Vanderbilt and Tennessee baseball play this weekend, so they're good. So if you like either of those teams, this is not pro sports, but I'm just trying to, like, you know. And I'd point out too that it wasn't that long ago that Detroit was absolutely atrocious, and with four, you know, the major four teams, terrible. All of them: Lions, Pistons, Tigers, Red Wings, all terrible at once. I'd say the one guy who you would compare to Cam Ward there would probably be Cade Cunningham, who now has got them to a good point. And, you know, the Tigers are good. We know the Lions, you know. So, it's cyclical. It will come back. I agree with you that Cam Ward is the obvious person you look at where you're just like, man, do some stuff this fall that makes people feel better. Now, you know, maybe there's, you know, maybe one of these young guys you mentioned earlier for the Preds does have this big breakout year. Or maybe whoever they draft actually is able to come in and make a difference. But probably that's gonna come down to guys, you know, collectively being better and your main guys being better. Cam Ward can change the entire feel of the franchise, and some quarterbacks have done that recently for teams. They've also done it with teams that I think gave them a lot more support than Cam Ward is going to get on paper this year, but maybe he can lift everybody.
We need him. We need him bad. We need him to come in and be great. The Nashville pro sports fan needs some help. I'm with you. Like, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you've got Diego Pavia to look forward to. I am in all seriousness looking forward to Vanderbilt, Tennessee coming up this weekend in baseball. That could be spicy, so looking forward to that. But the pro sports fan is in desperate need. you know, Nashville SC, we'll see if they can continue going this year. You know, I don't want to make people mad, but we can get into like where the MLS ranks in world soccer leagues and where the NHL and the NFL rank in world football and hockey leagues if we want to. But, you know.
You brought it up.
I'm just saying. Like, people have asked me, like, what if Nashville SC wins a championship before the Preds or the Titans? Is that a major sports championship? I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, where does MLS rank as soccer leagues in the world? Eighth? Seventh?
It's the number one league in this country.
Yeah, it is the number one league in this country. I'm just asking. I'm throwing the question out there. Is that the same thing? I would argue no.
It's not the same thing. It's gotten better. But it's the same it's not the same thing, but it's not nothing either. So, I mean, it's good to see so far there's some promising signs with them. But, yeah, you know, there's still a difference when you're talking about the NHL and the NFL are the best leagues in the world.
Right. So, I mean, you've got two of whatever your premier hockey league is in the world, you got it here. Your premier football league is in the world, you got it here. And those two teams right now are in brutal shape, just brutal shape. And is there any path whatsoever? Like, I'm looking at path here. And, like, I'm still, like, the Predators, I'm watching the playoffs right now, and you've got Colorado and Dallas and Vegas and Edmonton and all these teams in the West, Joe, that aren't going anywhere. Like, these teams are really, really good, and they're going to be really, really good moving forward here because of the core that they've kind of built together. And you're asking, when they signed Stamkos and Marchessault and Shea, it was to compete, right? Like, Barry Trotz brought it up yesterday. Like, they wanted to be a threat. And they were nowhere close to being a threat this year. So can they really get back to being an actual threat to win next year? Like where they're at right now with their roster, it's hard for me to get there. It's just hard for me to get there. Like I'm looking at right now, you know, we always periodically go back to the discussion like who's closer to win a championship, the Predators or the Titans. Like it seems laughable for both of them right now, but at least like there's the hope of the number one overall pick and the quarterback. And how quickly getting the answer right at quarterback can change things if you're the Titans right now.
Yeah, you know, when you think about the Preds, to your point there, we talked about the time. Like what Ian is talking about today, to me, is exactly the point, which is, look, man, like you're moving out of those windows of the very best of Forsberg or the very best of Yossi. You're in now of what should be the prime of Saros. So this is... So, I mean, I like the idea of what he did, and which is like, so like, it's just the timelines don't work out with the young guys and you're just going to be basically half-assing it that way. So boom, here you go. Go after it. And it's just a disaster. I mean, like it makes sense on paper and it just was a disaster. And this is where you talk through it and it's like, that's where maybe you do. I understand the idea of supporting your young coach and the patience that you got and all that stuff, but you got that patience with an expansion team when expansion teams were supposed to stink, and it took you years to get to the playoffs and years to win, and that just doesn't exist right now. You don't have years. You have months to figure this out, and that's where the case to change the coach to someone who has won big in this league is strongest in my mind.
Jacob on YouTube says, in fairness, the Predators were a consistent threat to my mental well-being this season. This is from Jacob. Nice. Don't say they weren't a threat. They were a threat. 615-73.
They've threatened a lot of things, like, you know, people who who can't take naps on planes. Like the Preds threatened to make them take naps on planes. I totally botched the execution on
nicely
that, but you
done.
Get what I'm doing.
That was good. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad is coming up next. We'll have John Glennon from the Nashville Post coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063 the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I feel like ass. So you're telling me that they can figure out a way for me to just go beer, red meat, and shellfish
well, the
all
picture
I want
is
and not get gout? There was a lot of meat, you know what I mean? And, of course, I ate all of it. It absolutely destroyed my stomach.
That he's now getting targeted ads for gout flare-ups.
You love Berea, but you can't have it anymore. Right. My sweet, sweet Berea.
Sweet Caroline,
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad, who's battling through it today here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I had a feeling that some of the stuff I said in the 6 o'clock hour might come back to bite me. Not quite as bad as the Berea is biting me. For those who didn't listen, I was like Icarus, so close to the sun, and then my wings caught fire as I ate a huge plate of birria beef at my favorite Mexican restaurant. I will not make that mistake again, but that's not what I'm ranting about today. I want to rant about Nick Saban, and I'd like to ask you, Robbie, what's up with Nick Saban? Nick Saban's a really smart guy. Nick Saban's a smart guy. He has transitioned to ESPN, so he's going to be on game day. I expect him to advocate for coaches, and that's fine. I think he obviously has old school values, and that's all fine too. Team building, I understand why he got out of coaching and all that. But then you have what we had in the last few days, and this is first reported by the Wall Street Journal, but President Trump spoke at Alabama, and Nick Saban met with him. And this is the thing that just blows me away. You know, Saban pushing for like an executive order, which, first of all, if you're Nick Saban, you paid any attention at all to this, you won't understand that, like, you executive order yourself to death. There's courts in this country. See, luckily in this country, we have a thing called we have three branches. We have a judicial, legislative, and executive, and none of them should be too powerful. But now I don't want to get off topic. Saban tells Trump that, it just blows me mind, that with the athletes being paid, quote, this is the Wall Street Journal, quote, it is, quote, hurt the enterprise and created an uneven playing field, end quote. Nick Saban is bitching about an uneven playing field in college football. Nick Saban is bitching about an uneven playing field in college football, asking the president to issue an executive order to fix it, which couldn't possibly happen anyway. Tell me what's happening with Nick Saban. I explained it to me.
So he really believes like he did everything all in the up and up, huh? He believes that he was like just the harbinger of justice out there when it came to recruiting and Alabama football, and he did their stuff the right way, huh?
No, he does not. He knows exactly how they recruited. But even if take away cheating from it, it's not an even playing field anyway. Like there are a few places that have way more money than others. It's never been an even playing field. Never been anything close to an even playing field. It's just it's insane. And so now people are all over him, and the lawyers of the players are like, yeah, you made tens of millions off your uneven playing field, blah, blah, blah. So, and that's how the conversation always goes. But I just how could he, again, he is one of the voices of college football every week. And there are things he said last year that I disagree with, but that's fine. You still need to have an understanding of what's going on. This idea that some executive order, now congressional, bills passed, that has more of a chance of doing something, but still you have the courts and you're just are again, ultimately, inevitably headed toward some sort of collective bargaining, some sort of employer-employee relationship, even if it isn't formalized in that way, it has to be that. So we just keep going around in circles. It's just amazing that Nick Saban actually thinks that a Hail Mary like this could possibly work, and also that he's seriously talking about an uneven playing field. And by the way, he's joining up with his old rival Tommy Tuberville on this, who's a total idiot, which Nick Saban should know. But you know what I found out in researching this rant, Robbie? Tommy Tuberville, 4-3 against Nick Saban. Is Nick Saban the most overrated coach of all time? I think it's possible.
Is he really? That surprises me.
3-4 against Tommy Tuberville. Now, only they were 1-1 when he was at Auburn. This goes back to, I think, when it's
LSU.
LSU. But still, you had a losing record against Tommy Tuberville? Holy crap. I mean, are we seeing...
What's his record against Hugh Freeze?
That's a good question. He lost a couple for sure.
Yeah.
But, are we seeing, Saban, Belichick, a little bit of, a little bit of chipping away at the legacies a little bit lately? I'm just saying.
Now, I'm interested to see, people have floated the idea out that college football needs like a commissioner, right? And they floated out the idea that Saban would be perfect for that. Like Saban would be perfect for the commissioner thing. But here's what, and here's what I think you're going to have a tough time. And this is why there's been no solution on this yet, by the way. I think you're going to have a tough time coming to a solution here, because the courts to this point, Joe, have basically said, yeah, if you try to limit student athletes making money in any way, we're going to shoot it down. So how do you solve the transfer portal? How do you solve like all these different things that are, we all agree, are a huge problem in college football, when somebody can just go and say, well, you're limiting my right to earn money, right? Like we talked about even the idea last week, right, of somebody declaring for the draft, and we were kind of joking about it with Shedeur Sanders, but it's going to happen at some point. Like there is going to at some point be somebody who declares for the draft and thinks they're going in like the second or third round, and they end up sliding to like the fifth or sixth round, and they say, whoa, 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 hold up. I want to go back to play college football. And the rules at the moment say you're not allowed to, and they're going to say, you're limiting my right to make money. I'm going to go sue you. And what's going to happen when that happens? Like, that's where we're at right now in college sports.
Right. So, exactly. So, like, it has to get to a point of, you know, the laborers, which really, you know, the athletes, the students, the student-athletes, whatever you want to call them, being able to have a say in what it is, an antitrust exemption part of this and all that stuff. I mean, that's where it has to go. This idea that an executive order is going to do anything but just be some big talking point in a press release that just gets blown up in the courts, I can't understand why Saban doesn't get that. So Brian's like, I'm pretty sure Saban has a better understanding than you do. He has a better understanding of a lot of things. I mean, he's a great coach. He has been on the inside of a college program. All those things he has an incredible understanding of. But clearly he does not understand this situation in terms of the actual mechanics of the courts and just reality. I'm sorry, but – or he just did this as a publicity stunt. But, like, how does that benefit him?
Right.
I guess maybe Saban's going into politics. Maybe that's the – maybe he's eyeing politics. I don't know. But there's no way that he can – sit here and be so entrenched in college sports and then demonstrate such a lack of understanding of the situation.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll be joined by John Glennon from the Nashville Post coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on Andrew Brunette's coming back as the Nashville Predators head coach, his thoughts on the Titans in the aftermath of the draft as well. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
You want to talk about something that's frustrating? That's frustrating.